So we come to the concept of assurance. Notice in Article 9, it says, true believers themselves may and do obtain assurance according to the measure of their faith. You have to remember that in the time that these were written, and even today, there are Christians or people that claim to be Christian that say you cannot have assurance. Some don't proclaim it, but by their teaching and by their what they believe, they also undermine the idea that a person in this life can be assured that they have eternal life. Now, you may say, well, that seems kind of foreign. But if your salvation is based upon what you do, do you always do what you should do? And the answer is no. If your salvation is based on believing in Jesus and, again, what you do, ultimately it's what you do that counts. That's the determining factor. And so there is, understandably, a lack of assurance if it's based on you. Because if we truly know our hearts and we truly know the sin in our members, we are men and women most to be pitied. But notice here in the article, it says that you can have that assurance of salvation. Notice it starts off that the preservation of the elect, that salvation is the work of God from beginning to end, and that includes the preservation of the elect to salvation. But at the same point in time, on our part, we are called to persevere, to walk with Jesus, with the Lord Jesus. And so in that process, we can gain a measure of assurance, and it says they are based on your faith. Okay. We still are and never are living members. Notice the basis of that assurance is threefold. The first and the most important is the promises of the gospel based in, found in his word. The basis of our assurance is God. And God's faithfulness, and God's promise. If God said it, he will do it. His word is yes and amen. So how am I assured that I have eternal life? Because God promises it. And God will keep his promise. That's what I hold on to. I don't hold on to my faith. I don't hold on to my faithfulness. I hold on to God and his promises and his faithfulness. And so, is there any other foundation besides the Word of God that is more sure? God says of his own Word, he exalts it above his very name. And it's just through his name that we are saved, but his Word is exalted. It's an amazing concept. They go on to write that not only that, not only objectively, the promises of the gospel are the foundation of our assurance, but the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Again, now stop and think about that. Is that testimony is outside yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that's the one who's giving that testimony. Just like the Spirit giving the word through the apostles and prophets, so the Spirit takes and points out that this truly is what is in your life. And one of the evidences, as we read from Scripture, you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans chapter 15 and chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. We have been given the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry to God, Abba, Father. Can any child besides your children, for those of you that are parents, if they come to you and says, Daddy or Mom, do you have to respond to them as their parent? The answer is no. If that child was adopted by you, would you? Yes, you would. For us to be able to go to God himself, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and say, Abba, Father, is because he claims us as his children. Does that bring assurance to me that I, in the work of the Spirit, cry to God and I know that he's my Father and I know that he will answer my cry? And the answer is yes. I have assurance because of the work, the testimony, the work of the Holy Spirit. It is something the Holy Spirit does, but we ourselves also see it. And then thirdly, they notice it says another way that we are assured of those the work of the Spirit of God is a serious and holy desire to preserve a good conscience and also to perform good works. So in other words, there is the inward evidence of or fruit of saving grace. We didn't read when we read this morning from Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. We could have gone on and read that. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and so on. Notice it's the fruit of the Spirit in the Christian. And so it is the fruit of the Spirit, but there is the outward manifestation of that in that we love one another, that we show care and concern for one another, that we love God. These are evidences or the fruit. That we hate our sin. That we desire to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to read His Word, to pray, to fellowship. The reason why we're here this morning is because of God's grace. And so it ends the Article 10 by saying that if we were deprived of this comfort, we would be like those men most to be pitied. And again, like those in particular who base their salvation on themselves. We don't. We base our salvation, our assurance, upon God and His Word. Amen? Amen.